It has been said that women need to feel secure, that they need to know that they are loved. Well, men are to be treasured too, but I think that what is more pertinent for men is that they need to know that they are respected. Men need to know that they are respected. This morning I would like to share with others, as I did with mothers, on how fathers are to be respected and who are to respect them. The others are children and their mothers. We'll start with children. So many times children have a fear of fathers, and what I mean by that is not that they're afraid of getting beaten, but they have a reverence, they have an awe of their father, whereas when dad says something, they understand it's business. But that doesn't mean that fathers are always respected. You can have a fear for your father, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a respect for your father. Let me say this before I get too far into the message. Everyone doesn't have Christian dads, and so their dads aren't fathering according to Scripture. And although this is true, it doesn't mean that they aren't to be respected. God expects children to respect their fathers whether they are saved or not. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Just so you don't think that this is an Old Testament passage and doesn't apply to us, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he cross-references, or he repeats Genesis, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. They say Genesis, I think it's Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. How is this done with fathers who are not saved and living for worldly pleasures? Don't be disrespectful. Don't be disrespectful. If you don't agree with what they say or the way they are living that is contrary to the Word of God, let it go and live your life to the praise of His glory. But in the meantime, show them respect. Don't talk back or give them one of your famous stupid looks. You know what I'm talking about, right? Because I have one of those stupid looks. I look stupid, but I also have one of those stupid looks. Don't give them the stupid look. Don't be disrespectful. Don't talk back. Agree to disagree and move on. Find something that's neutral. Something that you can agree upon. Something that you can do something that you can do together. But honor them, respect them. Now for those who have godly Christian fathers, let me say this. Not every godly Christian father is perfect. What I mean by godly Christian father is a father who is aiming to be godly because he is a Christian. Of course, the same verses apply to the question that was asked, do you believe the Bible is true? The same verses apply to us that were in reference to the unsaved. God expects every person to live according to the Scriptures. Just the unsaved don't. Do you believe that the Bible is true? And if you believe that the Bible is true, you believe that every word of God is accurate and correct, and that it is to be obeyed. If you do, then you understand that these verses are a command and not an option to obey your parents. But I'd like for you to respect your fathers, not because it's a command, but because you understand the hearts and responsibilities of your fathers. That you understand the hearts and responsibilities of your fathers. First, their hearts. Do you know that a godly father wants more for his children than they had? They want them to have more than what they had. This isn't only true of godly fathers, but it's not true of every Christian father. But a godly Christian father wants their children to do better than they did, and their hearts yearn for this to take place. Fathers want their children to have a better education than they had so that they can have a better job, a better career than they had or have. Even if you don't go to higher education, they still want you to make a better living so that you don't have to struggle through life or depend on two incomes to make ends meet or to have to just to have a better financial situation so that you can provide for the family. A father who has played sports growing up wants their children to be better, a better athlete and play the sports better than what they did. Your highest achievement, you want your kids to achieve, to go even higher, to do better. But more than anything, a godly father wants their children to love the Lord their God and to live their lives for him better than they did or do. A godly father, his aim is to help you know the Lord your God and to love him and to live for him better than they do. There is nothing that weighs more on a father's heart than for his children to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength more than they. I know that's true. That they will become good fathers and husbands in the future, raising their kids to do the same. There isn't anything a godly father won't do for his children. When I preached on Mother's Day, I said that mothers have a special love for their children more than any other, and I believe this is true. But fathers also have a great love for their children. We may not wait up all night waiting for you to come home, but it doesn't mean that we aren't concerned. They may not be as nervous when it comes to the kids taking out the car for the first time and wondering if they're going to be okay. But we do have thoughts that go through our minds, and we do think sometimes of the worst case scenario. And it's amazing on the emotions that are stirred when you think in terms of what could happen. I've had thoughts of my kids in those situations, and it's just interesting. It's funny to how the emotions stir up, and you're on the verge of crying, and nothing even happened. But just the thought of what could happen. Do you know the pride a father feels when someone speaks well of you? Whenever someone speaks well of one of my kids, something happens to me that's really weird. I can't explain it. It's funny because I hate it. I hate how I feel. But it happens almost every time that someone speaks well of my children. I get a shortness of breath to the point that I feel like I'm talking funny. I don't know what it is. It's just everything gets contracted inside my lungs feel like they're expanding and nothing's fitting or working properly. It's almost to the point that I think that people can even hear it in my voice when I try to talk to them or respond to their compliment. I'm sure they can see that it's written all over my face. I get so proud of my children. I've had people say, "Your kid is such a hard worker," and I get so proud of him or her, and that feeling comes over me. "Your kid is so good in his sport," and the same thing happens. "Your kid is so polite or nice." Haven't heard that one, but I thought I'd throw that one in. "I was talking to your kid, and it was like having a conversation with a mature adult." And your chest just, I don't know, it just feels like it balloons, and you got to say two words at a time because you can't get enough air in your lungs to carry to say a whole sentence. Every time a sense of pride comes over me where I feel like I'm just having a hard time breathing and responding. Guys, you should respect your fathers because they really love you with all their hearts, even when you think otherwise. Even when you think otherwise. Not only should you respect your fathers for the sake of their hearts toward you, but you should respect your fathers because of their responsibility. God is has given a great responsibility to fathers. They are to provide for their family, Genesis 3:17-19. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I have commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of the ground you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Fathers were always intended to work. People were always intended to work. Work isn't as a result of the curse. We see this in Genesis 2:15. But since the curse, it is much harder to make a living. Much harder. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, now this is speaking of widows. And he's speaking to the widow's children. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worth and is worse than an unbeliever. Responsibility of a child of a widow is to care for his widowed mother, to provide for his mom. But I put that verse in there because it speaks of taking care of the household. A man's responsibility is to make sure that they are taking care of the household. You may be thinking that it isn't a big deal to work. I've worked or am working, but it is totally different when you work and have no responsibilities other than a couple bills and the rest to spend on your pleasures. You will never understand the stress until you have real bills, bodies to clothe, and mouths to feed, and there isn't much money left over at the end of the month. When you get laid off from your job because the company is going out of business, or they have to cut jobs for financial reasons and because the country is in the midst of a recession and they have to provide or find ways to do what needs to be done. I was recalling the movie Cinderella Man. It was during the Depression and they got so bad that they had to send their kids off to their aunts and uncles. Broke his heart. He had a hard time. But you know, fathers have a lot of weights on their shoulders, a lot of weight on their shoulders when it comes to providing. And when the times get tough, it gets tough for them as well. Going back to the heart for a minute, when these times come about, recessions and layoffs and whatever else comes that they can't get the finances, their heart is broken when they can no longer provide for your extras, your lessons, your hobbies, or your sports. Fathers have to provide for their families, and they also have to lead their families. You know, everyone wants to be a leader until it comes time to giving an account for your leadership. It feels great when you throw the winning touchdown with seconds left, but it feels terrible when you throw an interception with only seconds left. Everyone wants to be a quarterback, but the quarterback is either a hero or a zero. God has called men, fathers, to be the leaders of the home, and this isn't an easy task. Genesis 3:16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, but he shall rule over you. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. A godly Christian father understands that their number one responsibility as a leader is to lead their family according to God's word. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Psalm 127:3-5, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Did you know that God gave fathers children and that our responsibility is to teach them God's ways? It says in verse 5, they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Did you know that the gates of the city was where councils were held to settle matters? So if someone brought an accusation against you, you would meet at the gate. And what this verse is saying is that the psalmist is saying is that when a father brings up their children in the admonition and nurturing of the Word of God, they have a grasp of a worldview of wisdom, and that they will be able to sit in councils of eldership. That is what the psalmist is saying, that they will be able to stand when he does the right thing and he's aiming at a specific target, and that is the teaching and the raising under the Word of God, that they will be able to stand or sit at the gates with the elders and settle matters. One of my favorite verses, if not my favorite verse or verses concerning leadership, is found in Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers have served were on the other, where they were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A godly Christian father is one who is determined to lead his family in the way of the Lord, no matter what others are doing around them. There are many times other Christians do things that are questionable or just different. But it is his responsibility, it is the father's responsibility to do that which seems right to him in leading his family as he studies the Word of God. It is not what the Smiths do down the road who may be Christians and how they raise their children and what they let their children do. It is up to the father to lead the home, and he determines the temperature, the atmosphere of that home. A man who is good at his job puts in many years in order to become good, so it is with a good, godly Christian father. A godly Christian father spends years studying the Word of God, pouring his heart out to the Lord, and looking to become as much like Jesus Christ as God is conforming him to the image of his Son. Not only are children to respect their fathers, but wiser to respect the children's fathers as well. One of the most difficult things for a godly Christian father to do is lead his family when wives are questioning and fighting at every corner. It isn't that husbands and wives shouldn't discuss how they are to raise their children, but it is ultimately the father's decision, and this is probably the most difficult thing for wives to grasp. Wives many times think they understand the kids better and knows what is best, and this may be true at times, but this isn't biblical. It isn't biblical. Ultimately, you are questioning God's intelligence and sovereignty. Oh, well, what do I mean by this? God created everything, and he has placed everything in the order he deemed best. And when you question what God is doing, you are questioning his intelligence. God said in the garden, "You shall desire your husband, but he shall rule over you," Genesis 3:16. Your sinful nature is to control your husband, but he shall rule over you. He shall lead you. The word desire means to control. And we know this because chapter 4, where he speaks to Cain, says the same thing. Sin's desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. It wants to control you. Sin wants to control you. Same word. Same exact scenario, just instead of a wife, it's sin. I've already read some of the scriptures pertaining to the husband being in leadership, and you know of many others. But this is what you are doing when you fight against your husband's leadership. And when you fight against your husband's leadership, he feels disrespected. What I mean by questioning God's sovereignty is, do you think that God isn't ultimately going to accomplish what he wants without your intervention? Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man has all the plans, but God's going to do what he wants to do, no matter what your plans are or not. The situation that comes to mind is when Rebekah told Jacob to deceive his father for his birthright. Jacob means deceiver, and he was a deceiver. But here's a mother's intervention against what his father was going to do. Genesis 27, 1 through 17. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau his older son and said to him, "My son." And he answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the days of my death, the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac said to Esau his son, when Isaac spoke to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it in. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, and he shall eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went and he got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as the father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And he put the skins of the kids of the goats on his neck and on the smooth parts of his neck and on his hands. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son, Jacob. You see, God promised that Jacob was going to be the head nation, that he was the chosen one. And Rebekah thought that she was going to take care of the situation on her own and not trust that God's sovereignty was sufficient. God doesn't know what he's doing. He's missing the boat. I got to intervene. Well, how do we know that Rebekah already knew this? Because we see it in Genesis chapter 25. We saw the outcome, her intervention, in Genesis 27. So we know that 25 is before 27, and this is what it says, verses 21 through 23. "Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord." Now Isaac is the father of Jacob, Rebekah's husband. "Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If all is well, why am I like this?' So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" God's sovereignty determined that it was going to be Jacob or Esau that was going to serve Jacob. It was going to be the tribes of Esau that was going to serve Israel, because Jacob's name became Israel. Now, most women wouldn't go this far to get what they want for their kids, but you do things deceptively in order to get what you want. You didn't like that. No. Some cry. My wife hates that. I'll say crocodile tears. Not that she's doing it. I call it crocodile tears. There's a song, Crocodile Tears. So it's crying the crocodile tears. Some fight until they get what they want. Others talk with family members or friends to persuade them to talk to their stupid husbands, while others withhold relations until they get what they want. Or they just might tell their kids to do certain things a certain way in order to get your father to say what you want him to say. But there are ways, and every woman's different. They have their different ways about them, but they all have their deceptive ways to get what they want. You might not like what your husbands are doing or how they are leading, but it is God who placed him there, and it is his responsibility to lead in a manner that he sees best. You can trust that God is sovereign over all things. You can trust it. Joshua 23:14, behold this day, I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Now listen. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them failed. Not one word of them failed. God spoke and it happened. Why? Because God is sovereign. No godly Christian father is perfect. But God is, and his will be accomplished, and you can count on it. You can count on it. Children, respect your father, not only because God commanded it, but also because he loves you with all his heart, and he has a great responsibility that God has given to him to accomplish concerning you. And it's a heavy weight. It's a very heavy weight. Any man who takes it serious to accomplish what God has given him to do, understands the weight of this task. Mothers, respect your husbands by following his lead, as it is God who placed him in that position. By following his lead, you are revealing your trust in God's intelligence and sovereignty. Let's pray.